Welcome to the podcast of New Creation Christian Center, the path to genuine life where you can come as you are and be transformed by the Word of God. My name is Pastor Marquise, and we are a non-denominational church led by the living and active Word of God in the heart of Seattle, Washington, by Pastors Harold and Annis Faye Franklin. Whether this is your first time, second time, be sure to subscribe and share this with those that need it. Now join me and be ready to live and learn from the Word of God.
School and go to lunch. You were supposed to eat in the lunchroom, but we used to get with Big Tommy and the Big Blue Bomber, and we was going to eat, and I was always with the older G's, man. So I'm just happy to see that from young men, from boys and young men, now we become men of God. And that's a good thing about God, is no matter where you come from in your life, as long as you end up in Him, you ended up in the right place. Amen. And so I'm going to pray, and we'll get into this word tonight. Amen. So, Father God, I just thank you right now for this opportunity to be here at this conference. I thank you, Father God, that your word is going to shine forth, that you're going to minister to each person the way that they need to be ministered to, Father God. I pray, Father God, as always, that there will be less of me and more of you. I pray that you would help me to preach this word with passion, purpose, and power, Father God, because I just want your name to be glorified so bad. It's not about me, but it's all about you. And we give you praise, honor, and glory tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. Anybody out there know that there's a war going on? The war I'm talking about is not the war on ISIS. It's not the war on Al-Qaeda. It's not us against North Korea. But the war I'm talking about is the war on the inside. And so tonight, the theme is a warrior's perspective. And as I was preparing this message, God told me that he really wanted me to teach tonight. And so it's really good that my brother, he preached the word tonight, but God wants me to teach and give you understanding about that perspective of a warrior. Amen. The theme scripture is 2 Chronicles 7:14. And I took it even a little bit further. I went through 16 because 15 and 16, it really touched me with what it said. And I'm reading out of the NIV. It says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and I will heal their land. And verse 15 and 16 says, now my eyes will be open and my ears attentive to the prayers offered in this place. I have chosen and consecrated this temple so that my name may be there forever. My eyes and my heart will always be there. When we read that, I want us to understand that that is God talking to Solomon. This passage of scripture is actually the answer to the chapter before of Solomon's prayer and what he was asking God to do. We know, as he talked about David, which was Solomon's father, David, in his heart, because he had a heart after God, he wanted to build a temple and a place where the ark could be housed, where the holiest of holies could be, and worship could happen, and the sacrifices could happen in that place. But God said it wasn't for him to do. Sometimes it can be a hard thing when there's something you have set in your heart that you want to do. It's a good thing. It'll glorify God. But God says it's not for you to do. And so his son comes along and God says it's for him to do. And so they create the temple. He put everything into that temple. And if you read 2 Chronicles chapter 6, you will see the amount of sacrifice that happened in the place. It was so much sacrifice that it couldn't even happen on the inside of the temple because it was just too vast. It was too big. And so tonight, the Lord wants me to give to you some understanding about these scriptures, because I really believe that what God was doing when he said this, when he answered this prayer, was giving Solomon and the people instruction on how to have what he said in verse 15 and 16. In 15 and 16, again, he said, "Now my eyes will be open and my ears attentive to the prayers offered in this place. I have chosen and consecrated this temple so that my name may be there forever. My eyes and my heart will always be there." The first thing I want you, I won't say the first thing, but the last thing I want you to understand about this passage that I read is that no longer are we talking about a building temple. But Jesus Christ is the fulfillment of the law, so we no longer need sacrifices. We are a living sacrifice. Amen. So when I read this, I heard the Lord saying to me that he had chosen and consecrated me. And that's what God is saying to you, that I have chosen and consecrated you and that my name will be upon you forever. God said, my eyes and my heart will always be there. So in this war that you're fighting, this war that's going on inside of you, there's times when you feel like you're taking a loss. We can read many stories in the Old Testament where there's armies that went out. The army of the Lord. It was God's people. But maybe there was a leader who chose to go about it not the way that God said to go about it. And they suffered great loss. But God wants you to know in whatever's going on in your war today, that his eyes and his heart will always be with you. And as Akbar was saying, that you have a right to worship. You have the ability to worship. It is a tool that God has given you to remain free. I heard Marquis say earlier that God takes us from faith to faith and glory to glory. So here's what I want to give you about this passage of scripture, which is our theme scripture. The first thing I want you to understand is that in God's instruction, he says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves. That's the first one. It's not always an easy thing to do, to humble yourself. Right? Especially when you think you're right. But God says the first thing you must do with that humbling yourself is have the willingness to surrender all of yourself to me. True surrender. Your addictions, your frustrations, your hopes, your dreams, your aspirations, everything you lost, just like Job lost everything. He had to surrender it all to God, and he still worshiped. Yes. And God gave him double for his trouble. Amen. I looked up the word surrender, and the word surrender means to give oneself up. We have a perfect example of that in Jesus Christ. Gave himself up on the cross for us. Amen. To give oneself up as unto the power and authority of another. To submit or yield. People in general find it hard to come under authority. When you talked about dwelling under the shadow of the Most High, it sounds good when you say that. But not everybody who confesses Christ is actually coming under that authority. Because to get that protection, to get that that victory, to be able to look to the hills from which cometh your help, sometimes that means that you can't do it the way you want to. And that's a hard pill to swallow sometimes, because sometimes when stuff hits the fan, we begin to think about how we can change the situation. The second thing that I want you to receive from this in God's instruction is when he says, after humble themselves and pray. And pray. And pray. I've gotten to a place in my life. You know, when you come to the Lord, you're full of a lot of zeal and vigor. And all you want to do is give your testimony and help as many people as possible. But if you've been in this thing long enough, you come to a place where you realize there's a lot of people you try to help that they don't want your help. And so you spin your wheels. You're answering every phone call late at night. You're getting up and going to visit people. You're doing everything that you can do, picking them up, bringing them to church. I mean, whatever you could do. And they still don't receive God's free gift. They still don't fully surrender. They still don't take heed to his instructions. And so I've learned in life, there's one thing that I could do to allow me to never get burnt out. Because, see, that's my strength. That's what I could do. But what I now know that I could do, which is greater than anything else, is pray. Just like Anna says, she's praying for 5 billion people. She could never go visit 5 billion people, but she could pray for the needs of the whole world. And heaven heard that prayer. And God is going to move on her prayers. And then she said something that was so significant, just like Jesus, your will be done. See, I'm praying for all 5 billion. But God, I know there's some people that their hearts are going to stay hard. That hurts me really bad. I know there's some people that they won't themselves allow the blinders to come off because they want to stay in their war. Everybody talks about wanting to be free, but there are people who are staying in the war. God provided a way of escape. The Bible tells us that, but they won't believe and receive. Amen. The third instruction that I want you to receive is this. God said, and seek my face. And seek my face. What does that mean? That means that you worship God. That means that you pray. That means that you read the word. That means that you don't forsake the gathering of the brethren. That means that every opportunity that you have. She said tonight, you know, there's really nothing else to do. TV. But in the bigger scope of things, what is TV? Right? I'd rather be here. I can feel the energy of God being here. If I was at home watching a football game, you know, I might get pumped up off a big hit. But it's not the same as your spirit. You know, I mean, I'm an athlete. You know what I'm saying? So I can't lie. When they hit hard, I get juiced up. But it's nothing like a touch from the Holy Ghost. Amen? And so we have to seek God's face. The fourth thing that we have to understand is after that it says, and turn from their wicked ways. To turn from your wicked ways means to repent. Right? It's a lot of people who want to turn from their wicked ways for the moment. Because I think God's a genie, and if I just turn for the moment, then he's going to do what I need him to do. But true repentance means that once God gives me the revelation that what I was doing, what I was saying, where I was hanging at was wrong, then I have to be humble enough to surrender to the word and turn and go the other way. And not everybody is willing to do that. Why? Because sometimes sin can seem fun. Let's just be real. The reason why people in the world aren't running to come to the church because they feel like what they're doing is going to be stripped from them and they're not going to be able to have any more fun. When they don't understand that fun doesn't even begin until you enter in to Christ Jesus. Now you understand the true freedoms that you have and not what you can't do, but everything that him dying allows you
to do. Amen. Perspective. This is what we're talking about tonight, is a warrior's perspective. The fifth and final thing from this passage of scripture that I want you to receive is verse 15 and 16, when I talked about God saying that he would be attentive to the prayers and that he would always be there forever. Basically, what God is saying is that we have to have continuous fellowship with him. Akbar alluded to that when he talked about, see, if you don't have a relationship with God, when you go through hard times, the first person that you're seeking is not God. Because you haven't spent any time with him to know that he can do it. Sometimes you need to be with God so that he can show you that he's able. We sing a song that he's able. But a lot of times people sing a song, but they don't know that. See what I'm saying? My salvation, my worship, it's so for real because I had an encounter. You didn't have an encounter for me. So when everything goes awry, my perspective can be the right perspective because I know God. And you can't take God from me. That's my God. That's your God. Amen? Tonight, as the theme is a warrior's perspective, I begin to think a little bit deeper into that. And the Lord gave me this title, The Right Perspective. Somebody say, The Right Perspective is God's perspective. Say that again. The right perspective is God's perspective. That's something that we always need to remember. I didn't say the right perspective is the way you think it should be. The right perspective is not you having to be right. But the right perspective is always God's perspective. And I'll give you a big tip on how to have success in life. When you feel like you're lost, when you feel like you don't have direction or you don't have an answer, seek the word. And then do the word. Because the Bible says that we have to be more than just hearers. We have to actually do something. Without faith, it is impossible to do what? Right? Because faith without works is what? Come on now. That's the right perspective. Perspective. Perspective is the state of one's ideas. It is the facts known to one. It is a mental view. If we talk about perspective right now, we can look at our kids and know that our children's perspective is very different than the adult perspective. Because from a child's perspective, they're not thinking about how they're going to eat, how they're going to be clothed, if they're going to be able to watch their favorite TV show or play with their toys. All they know is whatever they need is going to be provided for. But the adult's perspective is a lot different. We're thinking about the food that you have to buy to keep them fed, the shoes that you have to buy to keep their feet covered, the clothes, the bills, the electricity, all the things, the gas for the cars. I mean, all that stuff. And then the extracurricular activities. So not only was it enough to just have the stuff we need, you got to have some wants too. Now, anybody who's a husband knows that your wife is going to have some wants. So you're going to have to be able to provide some of them wants. Amen. The right perspective. Standing up here, Akbar, he talked about perspective tonight. He talked about being in an airplane and how that when you're in the plane, you know, it always amazed me the first time when I went in a plane and you're at 30,000, 33,000 feet and everything just looks so perfectly boxed and lined up. And it's like, man, nothing looks like that down here. You know, I mean, it's like God himself just took a razor and just and just carved it all out. But from down here, there's no straight lines. Everything seems blurry. But the way to God is straight and narrow. Amen. To be a warrior, my pastor, he always says this because I want to talk about our mindset. God has really dealt with me a lot about our mind. Anybody who knows me knows that I'm really into fitness. And I've helped a lot of people get in shape, but I've also seen a lot of people who have had success only to lose it all because their mental fitness wasn't right. And what my pastor always says as we're talking about perspective is that when you have the wrong perspective, meaning not God's perspective, you have to change your stinking thinking. When I look back over my life and what God brought me from and how I thought I was a good person when he saved me, I realized how ugly I really was. And all I could do every day for about 3 months was cry every day when I thought about how nasty my mind was. My thought life, the actions that I took when I really thought I was a good person. I want to tell you guys a little story, and this is real life. This is something about me. This is about having God's perspective. There's somebody who approached me a while back about helping them to do something. And they told me that if I helped them to do this, to accomplish what they needed to accomplish, that my reward would be a certain amount of money on a certain time, at a certain date, right? And I said, okay. So I helped them. I made what they needed to happen, happen. And so when the time came, I was excited because I was like, I'm going to reap my reward, right? I sold in. I'm ready to reap my harvest. Amen. And when that time came, it was a no-go. I got an excuse. Then they said, it's going to have to be next week. And I said, okay. And next week came, and I got another excuse. It's going to have to be next week. And to make a long story short, a month went by of next weeks, and I still didn't receive my money, right? And so the fourth time, they said, give me two more weeks. And when you give me two more weeks on the second Friday, come see me, and I'm going to have your money for you. And I was like, okay, Lord. I'm going to show them some grace. I'm, you know, cool. I ain't going nowhere. I'll wait. And I want you to know that just yesterday, that was that Friday where I was supposed to be able to go get my money. And I woke up before I go to the gym in the morning and looked at my phone before my alarm even went off. And there's a text from this person with another excuse of why I can't come get my money. Now, we're talking about perspective. I'm going to tell you something. I was in my flesh. I was in my flesh. And my wife was asleep, and I grabbed my phone, and I started to text them and give them a verbal lashing. Not curse words, but you could say a lot of direct things without being nasty about it, right? And so as I was finishing up the text, I felt the Spirit of God. And I heard the voice say to me, don't send the text. And I just said, oh, have you ever heard God speak to you when you just said, And so I tried to lay back down, but I couldn't go to sleep because my perspective wasn't right, right? Now, here is where it's important to have the people of God in your life. I had to wake my wife up. I said, babe, I need you right now. I need you to read something, and I need you to tell me, listen, I need you to tell me if, you know, if this is cool or if I'm not right. Now, my wife is a praying woman. Sometimes I wake up and my wife is just praying all over me. You know what I'm saying? So I know I could go to my wife. So my wife woke up and she read the text and she said, "No, don't send that." And I was like, "Oh." And why do we go to somebody when God already told? It was like, I just needed confirmation from another person of God that that wasn't the right thing to do. And my wife said something to me that really touched me. She said, "You may not know this right now, but the fact that that person had to even text you today, they're already beat up. They're already worried about how their relationship is going to be with you because they haven't kept their word." Now, I'm going to tell you something about perspective. God wants to deliver me from something. When I look back at my life, I have an issue with people not keeping their word. And that stems from the fact that my dad wasn't there and him promising that he was going to come get me and come take me and come do this and never showing up. And it hardened my heart to where when somebody didn't keep their word, it was like, I cut you off. Don't not keep your word to me. You do what you say. That's how I live my life. See, I live my life in such a way that if I tell you I'm going to do something and it's going to hurt me, but I already said I was going to do it, then I got to give up whatever I was doing to be there because that's my word. And I feel like that's all I have is my word. So my point is that just like we read that beginning scripture, I had to humble myself to God's perspective and what he was telling me because the person that I could have sent that text to is not a Christian. And my wife said to me, "That's not a good testimony for you to send that text when you profess Christ." And all I could say was, "Oh." My wife just hit me with the truth, right? But see, I have surrendered myself to the authority of God so that when the truth is revealed to me, I can only accept it. I cannot deny it because now I'm accountable, and I'm going to be honest with you, I'm afraid to go against God. I'm not afraid of God like he's going to beat me up. I'm afraid to hurt God because I love him so much. I'm afraid for my actions to slap Jesus again because he hung on that cross for me. So I'm willing to surrender my perspective for what he did. Because it's more important for me to love this person and give them the grace and mercy that was afforded to me. So the return text that I actually sent, because they told me that now it was going to have to be a longer period of time. I'm talking about some months. So my return text was, "Okay. I appreciate that you'll do what needs to be done so I can receive that." Now, my testimony of Jesus Christ doesn't lose any of its weightiness. Matter of fact, it probably is going to open the door to that person's heart that when we meet. Now, I'm going to tell you something. Because what God has shown me, I'm already past the money. Sometimes you got to let that money go. Because, see, the little bit of money that I'm, this ain't no life-changing money. This is peanut money. And we shouldn't allow money to cut us off from loving somebody when you may be the only one that they ever know who can give them the word of truth. Amen? Amen. The right perspective. Akbar, he talked about a warrior and the physical attributes of a warrior, you know, how the blood was on their hands and they were ferocious and tenacious and they just looked and longed for an opportunity to go out and make it happen. In football, it's like, it's time to ride. They was like, yeah, who want it, right? They was waiting for somebody. But God told me that in the war that we're in, a warrior has to have controlled anger or controlled rage. So you can't be a madman. David and his men weren't just running up in the camp without a plan, just running up in there and just thinking that they were going to make it happen. Even if it was a few of them, they talked about how they were going to go about it. And see, sometimes you need to step into your prayer closet so that you can talk to God about the game plan. Because if your game plan is long, and I'm going to just throw football in there, I've seen a lot of games this year where the game plan was messed up. And a lot of teams lost because their game plan was messed up. But God never messes up. He cannot lose. I want to ask you guys a question, and you could think about this to yourself. What do you see when you think about a warrior? I could tell you what I see. I remember being a kid seeing the movie Conan. Oh, man. And Arnold Schwarzenegger was swole. And, you know, he had the things tied around his arm so you could see all the cuts and the veins was popping. And he had this huge sword. And, man, they was making it happen. They were fighting beasts. They were fighting kingdoms. I mean, man, I was like, that dude is a warrior. Or if you like movies, my favorite movie is 300. And I love that because it's like, I love team. And man, these men were warriors. A warrior is always willing to die for what he believes in. Never afraid to sacrifice for his brother next to him. Warriors. But that's a physical warrior. But what I want to prepare us for is the war on the inside. And that's not always a physical battle. We got to talk about the mindset of a warrior, the mental fitness of a warrior, right? Long before the game gets played, there's a lot of film study and a lot of coaching and a lot of encouragement. You know, athletes always seem like some of the most cockiest people in the world. But if you were to ever meet a real warrior, they would seem the same way. They don't have room to not believe that they're the best. They don't have room to not believe that they could get it done. They're the kind of people that go and fight wars and cross enemy lines just to save one. It's still worth it. I want to give you guys some scriptures about what the word says our mindset should be. 2 Timothy 1:7 in the New King James version, it says, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind." A sound mind. So what is God trying to explain to us through that scripture? God is trying to tell you that he has fully equipped you. Somebody say, "I don't lack anything." Say that again. "I don't lack anything." Because if you tell yourself you lack something, then you're saying God is a liar. God gave you everything you need to accomplish what it is that you need to accomplish. Amen. Power, love, and a sound mind. Philippians 2:5. It says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." Let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. What is God telling you in this scripture? He's saying that God has given you direct access to the mind of Christ. So see, it's not about how smart you are. It's about what God already knows. God is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. There is no lack of information in God. There are many times in our life where we feel like we don't have the answer, but I guarantee that God does. Amen. Colossians 3:2, it says, "Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth." I was thinking about this week. We're not heavenly minded enough. Annis was alluding to this when she was talking about, "And God, do it quickly." See, for those of us who are in love with God, have spent time with God, we understand how great it's going to be to leave this place. Now, none of us are saying we want to leave tomorrow, but come quickly, God, because we understand it's going to be so much better in glory. What God is saying is that his warriors are heavenly minded. His warriors are constantly thinking about how God wants to do it. What is God's perspective? When they're going through things, the scriptures begin to swell up and rise up in them on the inside. The Bible says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So all you have to speak is what you have received from being with God, right? What you have allowed God to impart in you, that's what's going to come out. He talked about if you idolizing Tupac or Beyonce, you can get them down packed, know every lyric to their song, but there's no benefit of that to your life. Because you can rap Tupac's song, people aren't going to start coming to you and calling you Tupac. They're just going to say you're a person singing Tupac, right? 1 Peter 4, 1 and 2. It says, therefore, since Christ suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves also with the same mind. For he who has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh for the lust of men, but for the will of God. And so what God is trying to tell us there is that God's warriors are willing to sacrifice themselves for the advancement of the kingdom. Sacrifice themselves for the advancement of the kingdom. Anybody who's in ministry knows it's sacrifice. Ministry is work. There are some people who see people up here speaking and they think it's a glorified position, but it's really not. They don't know everything you have to go through to prepare, to give a word, to wait on God to actually hear what he has to say and not just give people mumbo jumbo, something that they can be fed with and grow. Amen. Week after week after week. But what I've learned is God never runs out of things to say. I'm going to give you guys, I'll give you one more of those. Isaiah 26:3 says, you will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts you. And what God is saying is that God's warriors maintain their composure during the storms of life. One thing I love about Pastor Nate, and there are other people in my lives, but Pastor Nate especially, through all the hard things that I've seen him go through, he stays the same. He's an even-keeled man. I never see him too high. I never seen him so low. I just see him continuing to walk the fight of faith, still be able to preach, still be able to counsel, still be able to love, still be able to give when he's going through, when his wife is going through. An example of that is if you were to read Acts chapter 27, when Paul was on his way to Rome, he told them before they even left shore to sail for Rome that it was going to be all bad, that we shouldn't have left yet. But they didn't have God's perspective, so they didn't listen. And what happened? It went bad. But Paul told them, the angel visited me last night, and he told me that not one man on this ship would be lost. So he was able to remain calm when a storm's going on in your life, but you have somebody who can stand with you and say, hey, we're going to make it through it. It's going to be all right. Like, as an athlete, we've been in the fourth quarter when it's crunch time, and, man, we're down. We're down two touchdowns with, like, a minute and 30 seconds to go, and it seems like there's absolutely no way we could come back. But how many people know that God, he always has a ram in the bush? And you could come back. Tonight, I want to leave you with seven things, and those are seven signs of a warrior. Because there may be some people in here tonight that know they're warriors. There may be some people in here tonight who are still trying to find out if they're a warrior or not. Right? We all been in positions in life where we're not feeling too sure about ourselves. But God wants to put you over the hump tonight. Amen? The first thing is this. A warrior must know on the inside that they were born for such a time as this. Our sister said this in her song. And I know that's one of the most cliche things that Christians, we were born for such a time as this. We hear that all the time. But I'm going to actually give you a scripture that backs that up. And that's Acts chapter 17, verse 26. It says, "And he has made from one blood every nation of men to dwell on all the face of the earth, and has determined their pre-appointed times and the boundaries of their dwellings." See, God put you here for this pre-appointed time. So you are here. Somebody say, I'm here. So things are going to change. When you walk in somewhere, you got to know you are the difference maker. I firmly believe that. Me and my brother can attest to that in the gym. There's people who are in the gym that feel like they're going to church when they come to the gym. Because we're going to pray for people. We're going to have a good time. We're not too busy to stop working out to pray over somebody's needs. And it's happened many times. But my point is that we understand that we were put in this position for this time, right now. I wasn't supposed to be in my mom's generation. Sometimes I wish I was, because I love muscle cars. And I'm like, man, they grew up 60s, 70s, muscle car era. I feel like I missed out. But God said, no, this is your time. Amen. Number two, a warrior must be able to visualize victory and success. I learned this when I was very little. When I was a little kid playing little league football, I probably was about 8 years old. And one of my coaches, I remember us driving out to Puyallup. Now, as a little kid, that's the first time that I had ever been on 167. And when you first get on 167 and you hit that straightaway, it seems like a long way when you're a little kid. But my coach came to me and he said, "I want you to look out at the horizon and I just want you to visualize what you're going to do in the game. The moves that you're going to make, the hits that you're going to make, the touchdowns that you're going to score." And I was able to see that in my mind. And sure enough, I was able to do the things that I could see. When I was in junior college, I remember we were going to play Fresno City College. And on the bus ride down there, I just kept having this vision in my mind that I was going to block the punt. I just knew that I was going to block the punt. And sure enough, I blocked the punt and we ran it back. Now, all I'm trying to tell you is that no matter what your circumstances are and what you can see, you have to be able to have sight beyond sight. And the only way that you can have that is to have God's perspective. Amen. Number three, a warrior has to know the ways of God and abide in them constantly. I'm not talking about somebody who's a fighter. A fighter chooses when they're going to fight. If you take a prize fighter, look at Mayweather. He picked when he was going to do his fights. But a warrior, they may never know when the war is coming. It could just, nobody is just sitting around like, yeah, the war is about to happen. It's like when it happens, now you just have to be ready. A warrior must spend time with God to be able to be ready, to be able to react. Amen. Because when it gets real, you don't have time to get prepared anymore. Number four, a warrior has no doubt in their heart that God will back them up. I'll say that again. A warrior has no doubt in their heart that God will back them up. An example of this is Joshua and Caleb. We look at Exodus, and they had to go scout the land. And they went with some other people, and they're the only ones who came back with a good report. And they were like, matter of fact, let's go right now. We could do it right now. And everybody else was like, no, they're like giants, and we're like small to them. And they didn't have God's perspective. Number five, Everything about a warrior is designed to influence. Akbar alluded to this. The world is a better place because of you, especially if you achieve your purpose. That's why we have to continue to seek God so that we can walk in purpose, so that he can say, well done, thy good and faithful servant. Amen. I can't just be out here roaming around with no vision, no plans, just hoping that I get it right. But with God, I can have firm instruction. Amen. Number six, a warrior has an unfailing belief that God will prepare them. However, they understand that it might not be like the way they think it will be. I always think about Marquise when he preached a message called Let God Out the Box. When you trust God and you trust God to prepare you, sometimes you come up with how God is going to do it. But God has infinite ways that he can do it in you. Amen. A part of six, I wrote, a warrior can sometimes be a loner who thinks that they can accomplish the goal on their own. But God has to purge this type of thinking. God's warriors can't be loners and introverts. They can't be shy. You won't be able to humble yourself when somebody tells you the truth or ask for help if you are a loner or somebody who wants to do it all on your own. There's no room for loners in the kingdom of God. Amen. And number seven, a warrior must operate and see through the eyes of faith. We talked about sight beyond sight. A real warrior realizes when God is about to call them to do something that they're totally incapable of doing. I'll say that again. A real warrior realizes when God is about to call them to do something that they're totally incapable of doing. It just looks completely impossible, but you know that you know that you know that God told you to go do it. An example of this is when Joshua became the leader over the people of Israel. And to prove who he was, who Joshua was to the people, that God was with him like he said he was going to be, like he was with Moses, God took them over to take down Jericho. And the first thing God did was he parted the Jordan River during flood season, right? Now, when they got over there, and you've probably read the story, he told them to do something that just doesn't really make sense if you're trying to conquer a place. Okay, you guys are going to walk around this place seven times. And so you're going to walk around for 6 days, and then you're going to, on the seventh day, you're going to walk around, and when you hear the trumpets blow, you're going to shout, and the walls are going to fall down. Now, if Joshua did not know God, he would say, you got to be kidding me. It's just like Noah building the ark, never having seen water like that, right? God must do this so that only he will get the credit. So I'm telling you, there's something that you're dealing with right now in your life. There's something that it just seems like is so hard for you, but God has to take you through this and do it in such a way that only he can receive the glory. There's many stories of that. We've seen Gideon and how he had 10,000 and God had to shrink that down to 300 because God said, that's too much. That's too much. And I don't want the people to think that they did it. Amen. I'm going to leave you with a story because I want to challenge you tonight. And this story is called Time Runs Out. It's a story about a farmer who his wife passed away. And they had a funeral for his wife. And at this funeral, the pastor was giving the eulogy and giving words. And he asked if anybody had anything to say. And the man came up. Now, mind you, his wife was a great wife. She was a great homekeeper. She took care of the kids. She cooked. She cleaned. She was really a true helpmeet to his life.
And so he got up and he didn't cry, but he had a book in his hand. And he looked at the book and he told the people, he said, you know, every day on this farm, my wife would ask me if I would sit down and read this book of poems with her. And every day I told her that I'm busy. There's so much work to do on the farm. There's always something to do on the farm. I got to fix the tractor, and there's bales of hay, and there's animals, and cows need to be milked, and all of these different things. And he said, you know what? I never read the book with my wife because I was always too busy. But as I was sitting here listening to the pastor, I realized that nobody's on the farm today. And nobody's doing any of the work that it takes to run the farm today. And so now I understand that you never miss time until it runs out. And so my encouragement to you today is this. What are you allowing time to pass you by with? What is it that God wants you to do that you've just been so busy with so many other things that you just didn't have the time, or you didn't make the time? Because that's what it's really about, is making the time to do it. That if this week, if you would just take one step to get closer to doing that one thing, I guarantee you this, that God will make a way when you're on your way. Because the one thing that we cannot get back is time. Amen. So that's my word for tonight, that a warrior's perspective has to be the right perspective, which is God's perspective. Amen. Father God, we thank you right now in the name of Jesus. I thank you for allowing me to give this word. I know that I can be long-winded, God, but I'm so thankful when I get the opportunity to give to people what you have given me. So, Father God, I pray that you would meet every need of every person. I pray that they would be filled up, charged up, ready to go out and be doers of the word, Father God, that your name would be glorified. I hope that they understand, Father God, that you're not asking them to do something extraordinary, but Father God, you're just asking them to be obedient. And that in being obedient, Father God, you can do great and mighty exploits through them, and we can watch your kingdom grow. We give you praise, honor, and glory tonight. In Jesus' name we pray.
Thank you for spending time with us here at New Creation Christian Center. Feel free to join our worship services on Saturday at 7 p.m. and Sunday at 11 a.m. located at 5150 South Cloverdale Street, Seattle, Washington, 98118. Visit our website, newcreationwa.org. New Creation Christian Center, where you can come as you are and be transformed by the Word of God.